Amen.
Amen. And he's righteous.
Yes, he is. Amen, sis. He's worthy. He's worthy. Thank God his mercy was enough. Amen. Thank God. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter number 9. And Lord, I missed a service, so I'm going to have to double up. Next Sunday morning, you're going to get two messages. Amen. I'm tempted just to preach three this morning and wrap this little series up. Amen. Boy, it got quiet in here, didn't it? I wouldn't dare try to preach three sermons. Most of you can't handle one, amen? Most of you are usually through before I am anyway, amen? Amen. Thank God his mercy was enough. While you're turning there, I was thinking while they were singing, just thinking back over this past year, we've had some families, and quite a few as a matter of fact, over this past year has had to walk through some mighty dark days and deal with some tough situations. And got a card this morning from the Bush family I thought was mighty sweet, and we buried Miss Bonnie this year, and she was near and dear to my heart, knew her basically all my life, and grew up in her home and her kids and not in my home, and if I wasn't at their house, they were at mine, and just very, very dear to my heart. And I just wanted to read the card this morning. It said, "We'd like to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a happy and wonderful and blessed 2014. We would love to thank everyone who prayed for us and for everything everybody did for us this past year. Your thoughts and prayers have helped so much. There is too many to thank personally. just know that we are very grateful and thankful for everyone and for everything. We love you all, the Bush family." I appreciate that. That's a blessing, amen. It's a blessing to be a blessing to people, but it's a blessing when you know they appreciate it, amen. And don't take the church for granted, and I thank God for it. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6, we have preached a couple of, I'm just preaching on these names that this prophetic scripture here gave for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you could just say Jesus is and put just about anything after that you want, because he is still the great I am. Amen. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born." Now, you need to understand something. There is a twofold meaning here. He said, "For unto us a child is born." That is the man side of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was very much man. Somebody said, was he more man or more God? No, he is just as much God as he was man, and he was just as much man as he was God. The Bible said, "For unto us a child is born and a son is given." That's the God side, the Son of God. And the Bible said, "The government shall be upon his shoulder and his name shall be called," say it with me, "Wonderful." We preached about that a few weeks ago. He is wonderful. We talked about how he was wonderful in creation and wonderful in every aspect. He's just wonderful. Can I just reiterate to you this morning, I serve a wonderful Savior. We love to sing, "I serve a risen Savior," but I not only serve a risen Savior, I serve a wonderful risen Savior. He's been wonderful to me in every aspect of my life. He's showed me more grace and more mercy. He's put up more junk out of me. I'm telling you, he's a wonderful Savior this morning. Somebody said, "I don't know if I could live up to his expectation." You can't, but what you can't, he's already provided for. He is just that wonderful. Amen. Not only that, he said his name shall be called Wonderful. And what was the next one? Counselor. Oh man, what a counselor. We've got somebody we can go to in time of need. He said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And for this morning, and we'll read the rest of the verse, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This morning I want to look at that little phrase or that title given to our Savior, the Mighty God. The Mighty God. Now, I don't know where you're from. Some of you are visiting for the first time today, but I don't want to blow you out of the water right off the bat, but just let me say, we believe every single word in this King James Bible is there on purpose. Amen? We believe it is God-breathed, God-designed, and God-inspired. I believe that word, the. I like that capital T right there. Amen? I like that word, the Mighty God. It didn't say, amen. mighty God. It just didn't say a mighty God. Hey, he is the mighty God. He said, I am the Lord, and there's none else beside me. Amen. I'm glad there's none above him. Never has been, never will be. When he said the mighty God, that means there's none mightier than our God. Aren't you glad you serve a mighty God this morning? Let me just say that again. I didn't get enough help right there. Aren't you glad you serve a mighty God this morning? I'm glad there's times that he speaks in a small, still voice, and I need that. I'm glad there's times he comes with the harsh tone of correction, and I need that. But I'm glad there's times in my life when mama couldn't help, when the church couldn't help, when the government couldn't help. But thank God there's a mighty God on the throne in heaven who could do what no man could do. Somebody help me right there. When the doctor couldn't help Miss Ashley, we had a mighty God. Hey, when the doctor couldn't help Brother Anthony, who was in a coma, we had a mighty God. Hey, when we couldn't pay the mortgage on the building, we had a mighty God. Hey, we've been through trial after trial after trial, and our mighty God has shown himself and proven himself over and over and over. If you've been around here very long and you doubt God that much, shame on you. Amen. I find myself in days where I have to say, shame on you, after all God's already done. Amen. We've seen God do things that we just stood back and scratched our head and say, it had to be him. Boy, that was totally outside of us. Amen. Our $250,000 second mortgage on our building was coming due. We were scratching our heads and crying and praying. And boy, that debt was just forgiven. The debt and the interest equaled about $500,000. Hey, that was God, man. I'm just telling you, we serve a mighty God this morning. Somebody said to me this morning already, and I knew what I was preaching, and I thought, I hope you're sitting in the sanctuary this morning. Somebody said, Brother Eddie, I got a big problem. Well, let me, I got good news for you. You got a big problem, I got a mighty God. Amen. I got a God for your situation. I got a God for your problem. There is nothing too big for our God. Somebody said, preacher, I got a problem. You understand every problem, every miracle in that Bible started with a problem? Let me say it again. Every miracle in that book started with a problem. So if you got a problem, that just tells me you're a good candidate for a miracle from God this morning. Somebody said, I was watching the television. My wife has recorded I don't know how many Christmas movies. And man, I've been laid up sick. And man, I've watched Hallmark for days. Amen. Some of you men help me right there and say, bless him, Lord. Amen. Been watching Hall, and it's all about miracle this and miracle that. Well, I'm telling you, we serve a God who is a miracle-working God. Amen. Our kids sing a song out in children's church that says, our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing our God cannot do. Hey, I believe those little children believe that. If we could get some of that childlike faith from the children's church and the junior church to flow over here in the big church, amen, among the sanctified and among the justified, if we could get some of y'all to get some of that childlike faith and say, hey, I believe I got a mighty God this morning who's bigger than any problem I could ever have. He's a mighty God. We see God in his mightiness. I don't know if mightiness is a word. It is now, bless God. Amen. We see God in his mighty power throughout the Word of God from the very beginning of the Word of God. It starts showing the mighty hand of God in creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You can't say that about no man. Hey, they've built buildings. They've built factories. They've built railroads. They've built airplanes. They've built computer systems. But ain't no man ever built a universe. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hey, he spoke this thing into existence. Everything we know, God spoke into existence. I'd say that's a mighty God, wouldn't you? I'd say if a God could do that, he could handle my light bill. If a God could do that, he could handle my marriage. If a God could do that, he could handle my children. Amen. He could handle the cancer. He could handle the tumor. He could handle the pneumonia. He could handle the bleeding on the brain. If we serve a God who can speak the world into existence. I won't ride a hobby horse here, but I watch the History Channel a lot. I told y'all the other day, and they always talking about how this rock is 10 billion years old. Them people are crippled too high for crutches. Amen. They got a problem. Carbon dating. Got quiet again. Got any scientists in here this morning? Creation makes more sense, has better evidence than anything ever put on the table. Amen. Amen. God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. If evolution's true, I say this all the time, why don't we see it in process? Amen. We've been doing a little Christmas shopping, ain't seen no monkey people. Ain't seen no monkey tadpoles. I hadn't seen it in process anywhere. He was mighty in creation. He was mighty in creation. Later on in Genesis, we find him where he's mighty, even in his wrath. When he destroyed the earth by the flood. Hence the Grand Canyon. Hence a whole lot of things that took millions of years of floods and earthquakes. Now just one big flood. Amen. Amen. Took care of it in just a matter of days. Isn't it so much easier just to believe that? I'm telling you, that's a mighty God. That's a mighty God. We follow him on through the Bible. We see in Exodus where Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. How many of you glad you're out of bondage this morning? How many of you glad the chains fell off? How many of you glad you ain't a slave to sin anymore? Ain't you glad one day God stepped into your Egypt, stepped into your sin, into your world, and said, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. I'm glad we still serve a God who delivers. He's a mighty God. We see them poor Hebrew slaves, if they have been delivered from bondage, and they're at the Red Sea and God parts the Red Sea. That's a big God. Yes, sir. We went down to Panama City several years ago, and the kids was playing in the water. I'm a nut. Y'all know that. I just stepped down there and went. It didn't do nothing. Amen. I'd like to see one of them TV evangelists step out there and part that Gulf of Mexico. Wouldn't y'all? I'd pay to see that. I'd buy a ticket for that show. Amen. That's a mighty God. We find him again with Daniel in his den of lions. That's a mighty God. Somebody said, I got a big problem. Are you in a den of starving lions this morning? Sometimes spiritually I feel like I am. I feel like I've been delivered from the lions just as Daniel was. They might not have been physical lions with mane and a tail and fangs hanging out their mouth, but they are spiritual lions who was napping at my heel. I feel like that mighty God has stepped in my den time after time after time again. That's a mighty God. We find him a little on down the line with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they cast them into the fiery furnace, and the only thing burnt was the ropes that had them tied up. Hey, have you ever been through the fire and found God in the midst of your flame? Found God in the midst of your trouble and your tribulation, and the only thing burned was what had you tied up when you went in. Woo, I feel a shout right there. I said the only thing burnt was the things that had you bound up when you went in. I went in the fire with worry. I went in the fire with doubt. I went in the fire distraction, and I'm trying to think of that word, depression. I've went in that fire. I mean, boy, just doubting everything in my mind, and come out on the other side with the doubt burned off and the depression burned off and the discouragement burned off, shouting victory on the other side, because I've still got a mighty God who walks in the midst of my flame. I'm just bragging on him this morning. I love to preach. I love to preach on Calvary. I love to preach on heaven. I don't mind preaching on hell. I don't like preaching on sin, but I have to do it. But my favorite thing in the world is just bragging on him. Yeah. Amen. He is a mighty God. Somebody walked in this building this morning in need of a mighty God. It ain't a baby in a manger you're looking for this morning. You're looking for a king on a throne who has power and dominion and who can speak the very thing that you need in your life this morning to come to pass. That's what you come in here looking for this morning. I didn't come looking for a swaddling babe. Thank God he was. But he's not a sandal-wearing manger babe this morning.
He's not a condemned man on a cross this morning. He's a king. And he's not only a king, he's the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. Hey, and I got good news for you. That King who's so mighty, so strong, and so great, he loves you and he knows where you are and he knows exactly what you stand in need of this morning. He's a mighty God. You saw all that stuff's Old Testament. Well, Jesus was mighty in the New Testament. Amen. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Bible said he was God manifest in the flesh. Them New Testament, those scribes and those Pharisees, they had a problem with him claiming deity. With him claiming deity. He is granted deity right here in our text this morning. One of his very names was the Mighty God. The Mighty God. Somebody said, I don't understand all that Godhead stuff. I can't explain it to you fully. They are three: God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But they are three, but they are one. Amen. Amen. Jesus is very much God this morning. And he's as mighty in the New Testament as he is in the Old Testament. Amen. Let me point out several things and we'll go to the house this morning. I want to say, number one this morning, Jesus is mighty in supply. Jesus is mighty in supply. Somebody said, I got a need. I got a God who has an answer. Amen. I've got a God whose coffers are full this morning. He's not broke. He's not standing on the side of I-20 with a sign that says, I'll work for food. God's got everything we need if we'll just got faith and trust and believe that he can supply our need. Has God supplied your need when you didn't think it'd come? Somebody help me this morning. Has it just showed up out of nowhere? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Go to the mailbox and there's a refund check or a, who knows, man. Hey, there's been times when I didn't know what we was going to do. Didn't know how it's going to work. I sat in my office on Sunday morning and wrote out that tithe check. And then above that, give that missions offering. And I'm saying, Lord, you know I ain't got this. God, you know I'm letting something else go, Lord, to take care of your business. And God says, hey, don't you worry about it. You take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. And he's never failed. Not one single time. Why? He's mighty in supply. In Mark chapter number 6, we see he supplies food for the hungry. He supplies food for the hungry. They found their place. They found themselves, Jesus and the disciples, in a desert place, and a multitude of people had followed them. And said, one of the disciples said, Lord, what shall we do? There's not enough food to feed this crowd. And Jesus said, well, see what we got. What shall we do? The Bible said he already knew in his heart what he'd do. Yeah. Amen. And Philip come and said, there's a lad here with a small lunch, but what is it among so many? Amen. And Jesus said, give it to me. Amen. Yeah. Wound up being 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. That wouldn't even be enough with this crowd. But we're talking about thousands. Right. Thousands. Yes, can you imagine trying to feed thousands with a Happy Meal? You couldn't even feed this crowd with a Supreme Pizza Hut pizza. If I brought that pizza in here and set it down, it'd be a fight. I'm talking to Baptists this morning. Amen. That's like bringing one nanner pudding to a fellowship supper. Amen. I imagine them disciples were just like I would be. It'd be better off just hide that. Don't let this crowd get a sniff of that. Just it'd be like wolves, man. Jesus said, I tell you what, is that all you got? That's all we got. That's all we got. Have you ever sat around your table? I'm not talking about just your food, but your finances, whatever, and said, this is all we got. You know what Jesus' answer was to this is all we got? Bring it to me. Bring it to me. You know what he did after they brought it to him? He blessed it. He blessed it. I found out stuff that Jesus has blessed goes a long, long, long way. Jesus can get more out of a dollar than anybody I've ever seen in my life. Amen. I'm a Baptist. I know about dollars. Amen. Y'all heard about the $50 bill, the $20 bill, and the $1 bill that's having a conversation? That $50 bill said, man, I've been all over. I've been in some of the finest restaurants in the country. He said, I've been to Hawaii. I've been to Jamaica. I've been all over the world. That $20 bill said, well, I ain't traveled a whole lot, but I have been to some good restaurants, and I've been to some good movie theaters, and I've seen a few plays and stuff like that. And they looked at the $1 bill and said, man, where have you been? He said, church. Church, the only place I ever been. I was preaching down in South Georgia a few weeks ago, and somebody, this fellow in the church, was telling me about this guy down the road who custom builds bridles for horses and reins, and real cheap prices, real quality stuff. And I pulled in there and talked to the guy and got to know, talking to him a little bit. And I said, well, I'll take that bridle and that set of reins right there. And he told me how much it was. I said, you don't mind some ones, do you? And he said, no, I don't mind. And I pulled out a wad of $1 bills. He said, let me guess, you're a very good gambler or a Baptist preacher? I said, I plead guilty to the latter. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm glad we serve a God who is mighty in his supply. I'm glad God can take what we have and make much out of it. I like the old song that says, little is much, but when God is in it. Our problem is letting him have what little we have. But we find that concept, Brother Greg, all through the Bible. We find it with that little widow in the Old Testament, with the prophet, with her little cruse of oil and her little bit of meal in a barrel. And the prophet said, make a cake for me first. She said, I only got enough for me and my son. We're going to eat this and die. He said, you go ahead and make for me first. And I believe the Bible said that meal and that oil lasted many days. Hey, I don't believe the barrel filled up. I just believe it never got empty. I don't believe God just multiplied the oil. I just think it just kept coming. I believe every time she poured that oil, it was the same amount every single time. My little sister had one of them baby bottles when we was a kid. She got it for Christmas, and it was one of them. It looked like the milk was really running out of it, but it never did. Every time she fed that baby, she'd get done, there'd be just as much milk. Amen. Hey, that's the God I serve this morning. He is mighty in supply. He can supply food for the hungry in Mark and Luke chapter number 5. He supplied fish for the fishermen. Fish for the fishermen. Now, I know we just talked about food for the hungry. Now, fish for the fishermen, that relates to something totally different than food. That's their commerce. That's their way to make a living. He gets in Simon Peter's boat in Luke chapter number 5, and he tells him, he taught him out of the ship, and he said, now, when he got done speaking, he said, now, Simon, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep and cast your net. For a drought of fishes. He said, we fished all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will cast the net. They cast and they caught. They cast and they caught. Listen, we come to our wits' end. We've done everything we know to do. Some of you construction workers, say amen with me right here. We've worked side job after side job. We've worked our day job, and then we've worked on the side trying to make a little extra money, and seem like no matter how much you work and how much you make, it just seems like they ain't never enough. Why don't you trust God with your finance? Why don't you trust God with your fish this morning? Amen. That's our commerce. Why don't we just trust God? Hey, I sat down in my office this morning. I wrote my tithes. I wrote my missions check. I put them in the offering plate. Hey, I'm going to give God what's his. I'm going to give God, hey, what I promised God I'd do by faith to our missions. I'm going to do that whether I've got it or not. And I'm going to trust God to help me with my finances. I don't make a whole lot of money. I'd swap paychecks with many of you right now this morning. I ain't bucking for a raise. I'm just telling you, God takes what little I have and supplies my need. Amen. God takes what little I have and supplies my need. God will take what little you have and he'll supply your need. Why? Because he's mighty in supply. He supplied food for the hungry. He supplied fish for the fishermen. But I like in Matthew chapter number 11 when he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and ye shall find rest for your soul. I'm glad there's rest for the weary. I'm glad there's rest for the weary. I'm telling you this week, boy, I've had some of the best sleep. I laid Tuesday and Wednesday and I was sick. I laid on the couch, man. I mean, you know, I just piled up. I stayed on that couch for 2 days, man. I didn't move. You know what the Lord was doing? He is giving me rest. Oh, the Lord let me rest. Hey, he'll give you rest in your battles. He'll give you rest in your trials. I mean, even in the very midst of the storm, the winds are still howling. The waves are still blowing. Oh, but God can step in the middle of that thing like Levi I sang this morning and say, peace be still and give rest for your soul. Amen. Somebody come in here all stressed out this morning. It's sad that the greatest holiday we have has to be a stressful one. I don't think the Lord had anything to do with that. I believe that is the devil. Amen. I watched a show on the History Channel while I was sick about the history of Christmas. Pretty interesting stuff there. Christmas ain't supposed to be what we've made it to be. Amen. Let me say it again. It ain't supposed to be what we've made it to be. We've commercialized this thing so much. And the world says, if you can't supply this, if you can't supply the brand new Xbox, and you can't supply the brand new whatever the latest Game Boy, and you can't supply the newest iPad or whatever it is that's out there, you must not be a good parent. Hey, if you'll love your kid and you'll teach them the Word of God and you'll bring them to the house of God and you do what you can, and God will bless. Hey man, you just need to lay all that stuff aside and say, I'm not worried about the monetary thing. If you've got health in your body and you've got good children and a good wife or a good husband, you ought to just say, thanks be unto God. And it's a very Merry Christmas. You got a bed to lay down in. Hey, put that stress aside. Put all that depression aside. Amen. They say that Christmas time is the most time of suicides. Christmas time. You know what that is? That's weary people. Somebody said, I'd never kill myself. You don't know that. You don't know that. Somebody said, I don't believe a Christian could kill themselves. You're out of your mind. The devil can get in your head and twist your mind up so much. Hey, you're weary. You're weary in your head this morning. You need to get to Jesus and say, Lord, I need some rest. I need some peace of mind. We got people who are messed up, man. You couldn't live if it wasn't for that pill in your purse. You couldn't hold yourself together if it wasn't for that prescription you got. And I ain't knocking and kicking nobody. Don't get me wrong. I understand this is a rough world we're living in. Times get tough and things get hard. And we do get weary. How many of you get weary? You ever just get to the point you're driving down the road all by yourself and you think, man, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the grind. I'm tired of the never seeing no light at the end of the tunnel. Hey, I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is the light of the world. If you just come to Him this morning, you might find rest for your soul. Amen. He's mighty in supply. He supplies food for the hungry, fish for the fishermen. That's our monetary. He supplies rest for the weary. That's our spiritual inner man. Boy, some of us need some rest this morning. This need the peace of God to move in our heart. Jesus was mighty in supply, but not only that, He is mighty in strength. He was mighty in strength. I love it when God flexes His muscles. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but when those doctors read Ashley's PET scans that last time, and all those tumors that were this many millimeters, centimeters, and now zero, I mean, it was a list of them like a grocery list. I couldn't even pronounce all them words. I've got it somewhere at home or in my office back there. I got a copy of that thing. And I could just see God up in heaven going. Amen. The doctor said, we've done all we know to do. Anthony Jr. said, would you preach my dad's funeral? He ain't going to make it through this. I'm in the medical profession. I understand what's going on. Daddy ain't going to pull through this. He's got 15 different bleeds on his brain. He's on total life support. He ain't never going to make it. And God said, I like it. Hey, I'm glad we serve a powerful God. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Amen. How much power is that? That is all power. We serve a mighty, powerful God this morning. He's mighty in supply, but He's mighty in strength. Amen. You ain't got nothing too mighty for your God to handle. In Mark chapter number 4, Levi sang about that this morning. He calmed the sea. He calmed the sea. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey Him. Now that's pretty powerful right there. When you've got power over the elements. There have been people who could claim to make it rain, shooting rockets up in the air and all that stuff. I got a God who can make it stop. I don't believe that storm waned off. I don't believe that flood turned into a sprinkle and those force winds turned into a breeze. I believe it just said, just like you reached up there on that wall back there and hit one of them switches and that light goes, bam. Jesus cut the power off right there, amen. He said, peace be still. He calmed the sea. That's a mighty God. Some of you in a storm this morning, you come in, your boat's doing just like this. You're like them disciples, your boat's nail full, amen. You said, I've had it about up to here. I'm treading water. I barely got my nose above water. We've got a God that can calm that storm this morning. Because he's mighty in strength. He calmed the sea. In the very next chapter in Mark chapter number 5, he cast out demons. You don't hear a whole lot about demons anymore. But I believe they were just as real. They are just as real now as they were in that New Testament. Mark chapter number 4, he calmed the storm. As soon as that boat got to the other side, there met him a man out of the tomb which had an unclean spirit. The next time they found that man, he was sitting clothed and in his right mind. Jesus cast the demons out of him. There's a lot going on in our society that is trying to be treated medically that's not medical at all. And a lot of people get squeamish when you talk about that. You're getting on, that's shaky ground. Right? That ain't shaky. The devil is raging, man. The devil is raging. This world's pumping so much demonic stuff in our children's mind. Amen. I don't watch scary movies. Some of y'all probably do, but most of that stuff's demonic. It's got a demonic background, and you can see the devil's fingerprints on it time after time after time. That stuff's demonic. We live in a day of more molestation than you can shake a stick at. That stuff's demonic. It's spirit-driven. Well, some of y'all looking at me funny. I'm telling you, the devil's real. Well, so-and-so's been diagnosed. They need to be diagnosed possessed. If you don't think demonic powers are real, I'd love to introduce you to some missionaries from Africa where it's practiced openly and freely, where it's not shunned, it's welcomed. I'm talking about bodies levitating off the floor. I'm talking about real junk here, man. Boy, I've lost some people, Brother Freddie. But I'm speaking the truth this morning. There's a lot of this stuff that we claim is a sickness and it's just demonic. And we need a God who is bigger than the devil inside us to cast him out this morning. He's mighty in strength. He's bigger than any demon. He's bigger than any legion of demons. This man had a legion of demons in him. Another man met the Lord. And a voice came out of that man's mouth, and it wasn't the voice of the man, it's the voice of the demons inside him. They said, what have we to do with thee, thou son of David? How'd they know who he was? They used to live with him in glory. Till he got kicked out with their leader, Satan. They said, would you at least give us permission to go into them pigs? They trembled at his presence. They knew power when they met it. They knew they were outmatched. They had him outnumbered, but they didn't have him outmatched. In numbers, on paper, it looked good. Hey, we got him. All we got to do is surround him. We got him. No. You going off a steep place into the sea, in the heart of some swine. They didn't have him outpowered. Hallelujah. At the grave, they thought they had him. At the grave, as Jesus bowed his head at Calvary and said, Father, it is finished. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I believe the devil and all the imps of hell begin to cheer and rejoice. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. Somebody said, wait a minute, I hear a rumbling. What is that noise? Somebody go check. He's up. I've read about the devil and his end. We see him bound in chains and cast into a pit. He's mighty in strength. He's mighty in strength. He calms the sea. He cast out demons. Watch, I'll give you this last one right here under this point. Don't get excited. He's mighty in strength. He calmed the sea, cast out demons. He raised the dead. He raised the dead. Do you know the only person who can raise the dead is the person who gave life? If you didn't give life, you can't take it. And if you didn't give life, you can't give it back. But Jesus did. But Jesus did. There was a ruler of the synagogue came to him and said, the little damsel, his daughter, was dead. And Jesus said, take me to where she lays. Amen. They took Jesus in there and he come out and he said, oh, she's just taking a nap. Yeah. Amen. Hey, he went to the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. He'd been dead 4 days. Yeah. I'd like to see one of them faith healers do that. I'd like to see one of them faith healers walk up there at Jones Wind this morning and get old brother Jim up out of that casket. I know Jim Denson. I know Jim Denson all my life. If they did raise him from the dead, we'd go ahead and plan their funeral. Because he had reached in them overalls. He's got them on right now. He'd reach in them overalls and pull out that old case knife. He opened that thing, have it on you so fast. I'm talking about even with Parkinson's disease. He'd cut you crooked. He'd have that knife out and have you cut so fast it'd make your head spin. He'd say, man, I was in heaven. You brought me back here. I'd kill you. Amen. Amen. How dare you bring me back to this mess? Amen. Y'all all right this morning? I just got a feeling old brother Jim just got a kick out of that. Amen. Jesus raised the dead. He said again, Jesus raised the dead. Not only physically, but spiritually. Yes. Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's mighty in supply. I got to quit, ain't I? He's mighty in supply. He's mighty in strength. Listen to this. He was mighty in sacrifice. Ain't nobody ever gave what he gave. Go back to our text, Isaiah. Or you are there, aren't you? I didn't turn nowhere. Isaiah chapter number 53. We got to read it this morning. Not just because it's Christmas. We ought to read it every day. Yes. Remind ourselves just what Jesus did in his sacrifice for you and I. Say amen when you get there. Amen. He was mighty in supply. He was mighty in strength. He was mighty in sacrifice. The old prophet said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was made, and he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Who thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin? He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Thank God he was mighty in his sacrifice. Go to Philippians chapter number 2. I'm almost done. Philippians chapter number 2. Aren't you glad he was willing? Aren't you glad he was willing to go? He wasn't forced to Calvary. Let me say it again. He wasn't forced to Calvary. He was willing to go. He could have stopped it at any time. Philippians chapter number 2. Look with me at verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2. Are you there? The Bible said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm glad he was mighty in his sacrifice. Do you know what it took to redeem mankind? Do you know what it took to redeem us from our wickedness and from our sin? It didn't take a little sacrifice. It didn't take a multiple year after year after year sacrifice. But it took a mighty one-time sacrifice to take care of sin, for every sin past, of future, or present and future. Hey, that's a mighty sacrifice. Yes, thank God he was mighty in his supply, mighty in his strength, mighty in his sacrifice. Let me give you this and I'm done. He's mighty in his salvation. He's mighty in his salvation. I'll just say this. There's none that the arm of the Lord can't reach. There's none that the arm of the Lord can't reach. Somebody said, preacher, I just believe there's some people who can't be saved. Well, you believe what you want. There's a time that I'd have probably told you, no, the Lord wouldn't save me. Right. Acts chapter number 9, we find a persecutor named Saul, a persecutor of the church, yeah. Hated the cause of Christ, right. Had letters in his pocket on his way to a place called Damascus, had letters of condemnation from the authorities to condemn those Christians to their death. But on that road, he met somebody. He met Jesus, who was mighty in salvation. He didn't even question him about the letters in his pocket. He just saved him right then and there. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. If you need Jesus, he'll take you just like you are this morning. Amen. You ain't got to go out and turn over a new leaf. You just bring that old dirty leaf right down here. Amen. You come just like you are. It doesn't matter. It don't matter from which side of the tracks you come from. It don't matter how much money you got in your pocket. It don't matter how much drugs you got in your body. It don't matter. Y'all listen to me this morning. I don't care where you came from. Jesus loves you, and he'll save you. It's not his will that any should perish, he said, but that all come to everlasting life. God loves you this morning. Boy, I wouldn't turn away a mighty God like that. Oh, he's a mighty God. That's one of his names, is Mighty God. You know, it wouldn't hurt when you pray to say, oh, Mighty God. He is a mighty God. Man, maybe in a time of destitution, when you just don't know what to do and everything seems bigger than you, just cry out to, oh, Mighty God. I need to see your mighty power work in my life, God. I need to see you do something bigger than me. I need to see you do something bigger than the bank. I need to see you do something bigger than the doctor. I need, God, this thing's outside myself. God, I need you this morning. I need a mighty God. I don't know about you, but I stand in need of a mighty God this morning. Every day of my life, let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, if you'll come and y'all get us a song for the invitation. While they're coming, getting ready for the invitation this morning, I wonder if it'd be all right we just bow our heads together this morning. We'll be out of here in just a minute. Let's not rush this part of the service. It's the most important part. This is where we'll have an opportunity to do business with a mighty God this morning. Isn't it amazing somebody as small as you and I can come to somebody as great and mighty as him? Don't have to stand in line. We don't have to sit in a waiting room. We could just walk right on in this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if there's somebody here today. Say, preacher, I'm not sure. If I died today, heaven would be my home. I need to meet that mighty God this morning. I need to know him as my Savior. Preacher, pray for me that I'd get that settled in my heart. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you.
You just slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure where I'll spend eternity. Please pray for me." Anybody, just slip up your hand and put it right back down. God bless your heart, sis. Anybody else? Oh, you can get that settled before you leave here today. You may not know all the answers of life, but you'll know the answers of your soul where you'll spend eternity. You can get that settled here today. Anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. I need the Lord in my heart. How about this? Preacher, I need to see the hand of a mighty God. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But I need to see the Lord work in my life. I've got a need that's bigger than me. I need to see God work. How about it this morning? Hands all over this building. Oh, let's mind the Lord. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, Father, I pray you have your way in this altar call. You've seen the hands. God, you know the hearts. Now have your way in Jesus' name. We'll thank you and give you glory. In your precious name I pray. Amen.